What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Shout outs to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey, he's holding it down for us in New York City. And we appreciate you for tuning in. If you're sitting in traffic, thank you. You at work, thank you. You holding it down, thank you. You just chilling, thank you. You doing construction, thank you. You an officer of the law, thank you. A you're in the military, armed forces, thank you. We really thank you. Be hanging out with you for 2 more hours. Time flies when you're having fun. Unfortunately, we've had to take a look at some good and some bad. Today we learned of something bad. It happened to Mike Vrabel. No, he got the boot as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. One of the worst decisions made by an ownership group that I can recall in recent memory. This is like if the Pittsburgh Steelers woke up and said, hey, Mike Tomlin, goodbye. Like, Mike Vrabel is one of the most respected head coaches in the NFL by his peers, by his... And the Tennessee Titans said, well, we only won 6 games this year. Well, we only won 7 games last year. It's time for a change. That's stupid. Anyway, let's listen to the owner of the Tennessee Titans, Amy Adams, who ran the team after her dad passed away back in 2015, I believe she started. This is her reason. Hey, why did you fire Mike Vrabel? This is what she said.
The last 2 seasons have been very disappointing. And the fans felt it. I felt it. We made changes last year, and I came to believe we needed to make a change to the coaching staff.
Maybe they get lucky and things get better. You know, it's not like things are going to just be in a toilet. Maybe Will Levis will develop into one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Because, A, you need a quarterback, you need a coach. There was nothing wrong with the coach that they had. I assume the Tennessee Titans got rid of Mike Vrabel because of his, I don't want to say influence, but politics. That's it. They brought in Rand Carthen last year to be the general manager after getting rid of John Robinson. And I really assume that maybe, and I could be wrong, but it's likely that Mike Vrabel was just butting heads with someone. And that's why he is no longer the head coach. In about 20 minutes from now, we'll have a conversation with Paul Kuharski. Paul will come through. He has covered everything related to the Tennessee Titans from before they moved to Tennessee. I want to get his thoughts on why this move took place, or what's next for the Tennessee Titans, and what might be next for Mike Vrabel. He certainly is going to probably and likely have his suitors. We'll see. Speaking of suitors, we know the big news that happened about 24 hours ago, a little more than 24 hours ago. The national champions were crowned as Michigan went out and beat up on Washington. The final score, 34-13. Earlier on in the show, we took some time to talk about Jim Harbaugh. What might be in store for his future? I believe it's the NFL. He hasn't provided too much clarity as to, you know, where he might go or what he might do. He was even asked about spring practice, and he's just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, let's just push it back. Listen to this.
We're moving spring practice back. We usually start on Valentine's Day,
okay,
February 14th, because we love football. But this year we're going to move it back. We're going to move it back about a month. That'd be good, too. We'll have some nice weather in the spring in Ann Arbor.
Okay. All right. And give himself some time to contemplate what he wants to do into the future. He was asked about, you know, potentially his next goal maybe being winning a Super Bowl. And he's just like, oh, you know, I want to enjoy this moment. I want to enjoy this. So we have no idea what's going to happen with Jim Harbaugh. There are no certainties. But all indications would be that, he's probably moving to the NFL. A, what more is there for him to do at Michigan? B, there could be further punishments or ramifications for Michigan in the sign-stealing scandal, as well as some of the improper recruiting. And the punishment might not come today. It might come tomorrow. And so if I were Harbaugh, I'd bail. He's already shown an interest over the past several years in moving back to the NFL, where he had a lot of success going to a Super Bowl. Didn't win it against his brother, but going to a Super Bowl with the 49ers. And some dude, his name hasn't been uttered so far this year, I'll take the first crack at saying it, Colin Kaepernick, who I'm sure right now, if you, well, I don't pay attention to his social media, but I'm sure he's putting up posts about how he is training, trying to get back into the league. And speaking of getting into the league just in the first place, somebody had to win last night. Somebody had to lose. And we know on the losing side was Washington. I picked Washington to go out there and walk away with a victory. I did not imagine, and I thought it was a possibility, that Michigan would beat the living hell out of them. But I thought the Huskies would be able to answer back. And there were times that they did answer back, and then there was a penalty. Well, there were times that they did answer back, and Michael Penix Jr. was twisted on the ground with his leg underneath him like a pencil. There were times and opportunities like the end of the game where he threw an interception that pretty much sealed it. And so Michigan, they got question marks. And Washington, nobody's expecting them to bounce back next year. They're leaving the Pac-12. They're going into the Big Ten. This is going to be an adjustment period, especially with their quarterback, who was second in the Heisman race, likely and almost definitely moving on into the NFL draft. And that's the dude who was beat up like a pinata last night, Michael Penix Jr. And when he wasn't beat up like a pinata, he was pressured so much, he was missing throws, overthrows, underthrows. It was like he was aiming everything. It was like a pitcher out there, not confident in his stuff. And so he was trying to do a little too much instead of, quote unquote, just letting it rip. And so last night, a poor performance, two interceptions, only completed 27 of 51 passes. Coming from behind, they had to throw the ball a whole hell of a lot. And he leaves Washington, second in the Heisman vote from this year. He's going to be 24 years old next year. We know about his injuries at Indiana, never played more than seven games. So are people going to look at the success he had at Washington? Are they going to look at the 36 touchdowns that he threw this year? Or are they going to look at the two interceptions that he did in the national championship? We know if you take a look at the quarterbacks who are all available in this year's draft, there's no way that you can put Michael Penix Jr. ahead of Caleb Williams, the man who did win the Heisman, and Jaden Daniels. You know, Drake May is the big project that everybody likes out of North Carolina. Let's be real. Michael Penix Jr. and J.J. McCarthy, they ain't in that top category. They might be in the second round of the draft. We might be sitting around waiting on them like, I don't know, Will Levis last year as he sat in that green room. And it's like, oh, my God, oh, yeah, the Tennessee Titans finally took him. And Michael Penix Jr., he did not mince words. He said last night following the game, it was very simple. I threw the ball plenty of times, and I missed plenty of times.
I just feel like it came down to executing. You know, I missed a couple throws, just a couple reads on routes and stuff like that. You know, just small details, you know, within our system that we do great all the time. You know, if it's shifts and motions coming out of the huddle, you know, it's just small details and stuff like that, you know, cause us to, you know, be in a position where we didn't want to be in.
Nah. Yeah, I mean, well, one position that they did not want to be in is basically down two touchdowns, you know, right out of the gate. No, nobody wanted that. They're playing from behind from the get-go, having to throw around a rock, and this was their strength. It did not work. Even all the way to the end of the game, it looked like, oh, my God, they still got a chance. 4 minutes left, 5 minutes left. He threw an interception. He was beaten up. He was broken. He hit the turf. He's holding his hip. He's holding his side. Michael Penix says, man, there was nothing that was going to happen where I wasn't going to be out there with my guys.
I'm just happy that I was able to finish with the guys. You know, I knew that I ain't want nothing to take me out of that game, you know, because, you know, I've been through it too much, you know, and I knew that no matter what, I was going to make sure that I finished for the guys and, you know, just give them my all, you know, but I'm not healthy, but I mean, I'll be there. I'm good. You know, it's nothing major. I know that for sure.
Well, he got months to prepare for the NFL combine. He has months before the NFL draft. He has months before training camp gets underway. And then we'll see where Michael Penix Jr. will get that shot. You know, he'll be a backup somewhere to start off. I don't think he's going to be starting in the NFL next season. And then he might be one hit away before he gets called into action. And then at that point, you will find out how much of a benefit it's been to basically run a pro-style offense at Washington, airing it out to wide receivers, or if he's peaked, if what we saw last night was a little bit more of the norm. I mean, he took on the best defense in the country, and he flopped. He had an opportunity to take on the best defense in the country and say, oh, well, I have a decent showing, or I had an amazing showing. No, he flopped. The team flopped. And I think, yeah, there are going to be some individuals who are going to hold that against him. Someone who isn't holding it against him is his head coach, Kalen DeBoer. He spoke after the game. He was on ESPN. And just as you heard from Michael Penix Jr., DeBoer is like, man, I'm glad our team, we didn't quit collectively.
They're brothers. They hung together through three coaches, through head coaches, a lot of different coordinators. They open their arms to new guys coming into the program. I mean, these guys are just low ego, just great dudes with high character. And that's what makes it so special.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, it's over for Washington. Their odds to win the championship next year, ESPN bet has them at 60-1. Good luck, you know, replacing Michael Penix Jr. It's going to be a brand new start, without a shadow of a doubt. And so at least at this point, as the Huskies move on from the Pac-12, soon to be the Pac-2, and they go on to the Big Ten, DeBoer is just like, man, you know, one thing we showed America, especially all those people who sleep during our games on the East Coast, we showed everybody what Washington football is all about.
They've made a city proud, and they've made a fan base proud. They've made alumni proud, and most of all, they've showed what they're made of, and they've showed heart, and they've showed, I think, the whole country, you know, what's special about our place. And man, I'm so proud of them.
Yeah, as he should. You know, we had this conversation last week. A lot of people, yeah, sure. There's a lot of folks who look at the Pac-12, but when you start moving further east, it's tough to stay awake for the marathon games that start at 10 p.m. Eastern and afterwards, you know, just to see Penix Jr. lighten it up. It becomes difficult, especially if you've been watching football or maybe even drinking since 12 o'clock, and some people drinking much earlier than that. Pretty tough. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. For CBS, David is calling from Dallas, Texas. You're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Re-Show. What's up, David?
JR, one thing I want to tell you is I actually think if the Steelers moved on from Tomlin, especially if Tomlin wanted out, I don't think it'd be the worst thing, because I think Mike Tomlin is overrated. I think he's a good coach, but I don't think he's as great as everybody says. To me, he's Jeff Fisher with a couple more wins every year. Remember, Jeff Fisher was Mr. 7-9. Mike Tomlin's Mr. 9-7, pretty much.
So what are you saying? They should fire the dude? What are you saying?
I wouldn't blame the Steelers for firing him. He mishandled them whenever he had a lot of talent in their prime. He didn't handle the Antonio Brown situation well. He couldn't manage the Smith-Schuster kid. He had, you know, Facebook Lives and stuff going on. I'm just saying, I don't think he's as great as everybody claims that he's like this untouchable coach.
So here's what, help me out here. Isn't the name of the game to win? Isn't that what it is? Isn't that what you want?
But
No. David, it's a very simple question. I mean, I can go to extremes if you want to talk about head coaches and who they can handle or not handle in this generation that we live in right now. There's a guy named Bill Belichick. Wouldn't you say he's probably one of the most successful coaches of all time?
There would never have been a Facebook Live in a Bill Belichick
locker
room. No, I didn't
ask you. David, you can't answer a question straight, can you? Would you say that Bill Belichick is one of the most successful coaches of all time?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, the last time I checked, Bill Belichick didn't have to worry about a dude Facebooking live in the locker room, but he did have a guy on his staff, unfortunately, who was going out there committing murder. So that's one thing, David. Now, when it comes to Mike Tomlin, I asked you a very simple question that you couldn't answer, and I don't know why you can't answer it. I would think deep in your brain you would agree with me that the name of the game is to go out there and win. Now, with the case of Mike Tomlin, I don't think anybody is running around screaming and yelling, this is one of the greatest tacticians that the NFL has ever seen. Oh, my God, he had a guy on Facebook Live. Every NFL team. You find me an NFL team that doesn't come with a headache, then I will find you an NFL team that is just a bunch of losers. I can tell you from personal experience, Antonio Brown is not the easiest of human beings to deal with based on his own legal issues outside of the game and outside and away from a locker room. When you look at Mike Tomlin, I think you'd be very hard-pressed to find coaches who have had winning seasons where they have not lost or been on the losing end. And his name is a Belichick or even a Tom Landry. Sometimes you gotta look, or you can't look a gift horse in the mouth. There's a couple of things that you want from a head coach first and right out of the gate. You want that coach to have the respect of the locker room. You want that coach for the players to actually want to show up and play for him. Mike Tomlin has that. Might it be time for a fresh start? Yes. But one thing Mike Tomlin has done that a lot of coaches in the NFL can't do, and we can look at successful coaches from all walks, the Urban Meyers of the world, the Mike McCarthys of the world, guys who've had trophies. Mike Tomlin has had straight success. And when the name of the game is winning and everybody doesn't end up with Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, sometimes you can't ignore the obvious, and the name of the game is to win. The Super Bowl isn't for everybody, and what he's been able to do over the past several years is amazing. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We are going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to tell you about the team that fired their great head coach. I think they look pretty silly for doing it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio, a conversation with Paul Kuharsky, who covers the Titans. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We had two NFL head coaches who got the boot yesterday. We know about Ron Rivera. We know about Arthur Smith. We've heard about this, the potential of this, for months. Well, today we learned that Mike Vrabel is no longer the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. We've had some shock and surprise from some of his best players, some of the best players in the organization's history, Tyler Lewan. You can also look at Derrick Henry, who just looked at this as a major miss. Well, right now we're going to talk to someone who has covered this team before they even got to Tennessee. Joining us on the line right now is Paul Kuharsky. Paul, I appreciate you taking the time to hop on and lend your perspective.
Thanks for having me.
No doubt about it. I guess first question out of the box. We heard the explanation. We played it here from Amy Adams. Why do you think Mike Vrabel got the boot as head coach of the Tennessee Titans?
Well, on its face, it's the record, 6-18 in the last 24. But the roster's really bad. And she fired John Robinson as the GM just 13 months ago. So he was the guy responsible for the roster. A lot of first-round misses, some really bad roster construction, the A.J. Brown trade. So, 13 months later, she's unhappy again, and that's pretty quick. So Rand Carthon's the new GM last year, collaborative process, neither of them with final say. Clearly, there's some degree of them not getting along, though Carthon denied that today. But Carthon made it sound like everything was hunky-dory between the two of them, and said he had no input into the firing. It was strictly the owner. And so it seems to me she's being a little flighty and impatient there. Team was bad, roster's bad. They got a lot of digging out to do, no matter who the head coach is, and I think they're going to be hard-pressed to do better than Mike Vrabel.
Paul Kuharsky is joining us here, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. You talk about Rand Carthon coming on and Mike Vrabel now being let go just about a year after the fact. Do you think that that was always a possibility, that if they had another losing season that he'd be getting a hook so fast?
I wouldn't have thought it when she basically picked Vrabel over Robinson and seemed to understand that the roster was a problem. I wonder if she's listening to the loud Twitter fans a little bit too much, who obviously call for a coach's head when things aren't going too well. But I think any coach would have had a difficult time with this roster. Yeah. There's very few stars on this team. Derrick Henry running behind a terrible offensive line. The quarterback was knocked out three times. Ryan Tannehill once and Will Levis twice. DeAndre Hopkins, a fine addition late at wide receiver. Jeffrey Simmons, a very good defensive tackle, but he didn't finish the season hurt. They traded Kevin Byard, who had dropped off. And beyond that, it's hard to find stars. Harold Landry was coming back from a torn ACL and got back to himself late. But this roster, go to people around the league, people can't name people on this team. Sometimes that's the case because it's a small market team that doesn't get a lot of attention. But this year it's reasonably because there aren't very good players to be ignored by people around the country.
Without a shadow of a doubt, it was rather surprising when they made it to the AFC Championship game in the 2019 season, and it seemed to be off the back of Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill's ability to, run play action off of his back. And so as we move forward, knowing that the roster has its deficiencies, what the hell could they possibly do with head coach? I mean, is Carthon going to look to some of his old 49er buddies? Because you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody with the playing resume and coaching resume of Vrabel.
Yeah, Vrabel's a winner, and I think the roster was the obstacle to Vrabel continuing to be a winner. I think that they'll look to a young offensive guy, off the Cincinnati roster, Houston, Bobby Slowick, he knows from San Francisco, but it might be early for him. Ben Johnson, obviously a hot property in Detroit. I would think they'd be looking for a guy like that. Frank Smith, maybe not quite as young, from the Miami coaching tree there with McDaniels. But being a defensive head coach is a tough slog, because if your offensive coordinator is good, he gets hired for a head coaching job like Arthur Smith did. And if he's bad, you've got a major problem because you're on the defensive side of the ball. So the Titans have been kind of stuck with that, with Vrabel. And I would expect them, and I think they should, be looking for an offensive head coach here.
Paul Kuharsky is joining us here, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like the Tennessee Titans are looking for a new, fresh head coach who would be a little bit more of a yes man, no?
Well, I certainly think they're looking for a guy who's less but look, Mike Vrabel's a very affable guy. He's a good conversationalist and very good with people, but he can be brusque. And I think the next guy's going to be overall more pleasant in all situations in the name of collaboration. And I think there's cause to suspect that Mike Vrabel, his brusque side probably came out in some situations with Rand Carthon as they were charged with collaborating to put this team together. And I don't know much about Rand Carthon. He didn't let himself be known very much this year, but he's certainly a very affable guy who I doubt showed his teeth much.
When you think about the past year, what leads you to say that he hasn't been available? Has he not had press conferences with the press, with the media? Was he been hiding in the shadows? Explain.
Yeah, no, the Titans organization throughout Mike Vrabel's 6 years let Mike Vrabel take every bullet. when John Robinson, who was Mike Vrabel's boss, got fired, Mike Vrabel had the press conference to discuss it. You know, every bad thing that happened, John Robinson stepped out once in a while, and he was a stand-up guy and came out and took the blame for things that he was connected to. Grant Carthon held what I think is a mandatory availability sometime in the spring or summer connected to OTAs, and we never saw him again.
Oh, wow.
For any of to take any of the heat connected to any of the stuff connected to a really, really bad season. Mike Vrabel was out there you know, fending off all of the criticism and absorbing it and being a stand-up guy.
Paul Kuharsky is joining us, covers the Tennessee Titans. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with Rand Carthon moving into the future over the next year or two, since it appears that Amy Adams is just has her finger on the trigger, that he would be next in line if this team falters, or if Will Levis doesn't prove to be the guy. Like, how much longer are we in? Do we got to wait? This seems like a full rebuild.
Well, you know, teams have rebuilt pretty quickly. We've seen Houston turn things around very quickly. And there are a couple teams every year that seem to go from really bad to pretty good. So I'm not going to say the Titans need multiple years. We've seen it done. But I will say, with regard to Carthon, Amy Adams Strunk tends to pick one of her two guys, you know, and it's getting quick. You know, she went, she was a Mike Mularkey person, and then John Robinson came in and she became a John Robinson person. And then she became a Mike Vrabel person, and now she's a Rand Carthon person. So as soon as they hire a new head coach, I think the clock starts ticking on Rand Carthon.
A final question for you, Paul, here. We heard from Derrick Henry and Taylor Lewan about just how appreciated and respected Mike Vrabel is. What do you think his next stop is? Is he taking a year off? Has he got the pick of the litter here? What do you think happens next for him?
I don't think he takes a year off. I think he really likes the juice and the energy of being in the middle of things. I think he'll be a popular candidate, and he should be a popular candidate. Like, I think Atlanta would be lucky to have him. But I imagine that the New England job's pretty appealing to him, that if they move on from Belichick, which I expect they will, that Robert Kraft would, you know, pair him with a personnel guy that he likes and knows and trusts, and that he would have, you know, just the right amount of hand in personnel decisions that he wants. And, you know, they've got a high first-round pick there to get themselves a quarterback, and a good amount of cap money, just like the Titans have. And I would expect him to have success up there with the whole region rooting for a favorite son to be the guy that resurrects a storied franchise. But, you know, I think if he was with the Chargers or the Falcons, you know, he could bring one of those teams to new heights pretty quickly. If he's with the Chargers, I'd see him in the playoffs very easily with Justin Herbert and a rebuild next year.
Yeah, everybody loves a good story. It'd be very interesting if he won another Super Bowl. This would be number 4 with the New England Patriots if he became their head coach. Hey, Paul, I appreciate you taking the time to hop on the line. Where can people follow you and all of your amazing work?
Well, follow me on Twitter. I'm not calling it X, at Paul Kuharsky, NFL.com. And you could read some about all of this stuff going on at paulkuharsky.com.
Hey, Paul, thank you so much. We'll be staying tuned as to what goes on with this wild decision that came down the pipe. Not all that surprising, just very interesting. I don't think it's the smartest of moves. You be well and you be safe, Paul. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
No doubt about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the number. That's 855-212-4CBS. What do you think about Mike Vrabel getting the boot as head coach of the Tennessee Titans? And, yo, where should he go? Yeah, I think Bill Belichick is still on the clock. I think it's going to take multiple meetings and hashing out the proper exit. But you tell me that Vrabel going up to New England wouldn't be the best possible scenario for him. 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to get to your calls on the other side of the break. I want to fill you in on Jameis Winston and his ridiculous decision. Might be facing a little bit of a punishment. We'll talk more about Belichick, who I guess is twisting in the wind.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Thank you to Paul Kuharsky for joining us in the last break. This man has covered the Tennessee Titans before they even arrived in Tennessee. We're talking about the days back when they were the Houston Oilers. And just a lot of people not surprised or shocked, but it just doesn't appear to be a good look for the Tennessee Titans to get rid of Mike Vrabel, who's just, quite frankly, he's been one of the most accomplished in his short amount of time. Taken over in 2018, he's been a former player where he had the ultimate success playing under Bill Belichick. Why get rid of him now? Because there's a little bit of beef? It's quite apparent. Like, and I say this all the time, if you want to win as a head coach, I don't care what sport it is, you have to have the talent out there. So what happens when they went to the AFC Championship game? Mike Vrabel didn't contribute to that? So because they've sucked with ass players over the past couple of seasons, now you got to get rid of Mike Vrabel? Amy Adams isn't telling the truth. A lot of owners and a lot of public figures, especially figureheads, don't tell you the truth. They're lying to the fans out there because they can't be honest, because it makes them look even worse. 855-212-4CBS. I want to get your calls. I want to talk about something else that looked bad this week, and that's the Saints going for a touchdown against the Falcons. I want to get into John Morant. Draymond Green has some words. Mentioned Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant answers back. I'm like, Draymond Green hasn't even come back and played one game yet. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-212-4CBS. Who do we have here? We got Connor calling from California. You're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Connor?
Hey, JR. It's been a while. A little weird seeing you in this time slot, but it is what it is. But I miss Shep.
Well, I like Ryan, so, I mean, that goes for that.
Your producer, I like Ryan, too. Don't get me wrong. He seems very lively. Anyway, sorry for the digress.
No, it's okay. Hold on, Connor. Don't go nowhere. I like Shep, too. Hey, Ryan, you want to whoop his ass? Should we collectively game up to whoop Connor's ass?
I guess so. I mean, should we take a quick trip out of Cali? I'm ready to throw some bows here. Let's go.
Let's see what part. Hey, Connor, what part of California you live in?
It's a very small city. It's like right by San Francisco. About okay, 45 well, minutes away.
I know my way around the bay. We can find you there. Hey, Ryan, you think we should get Shep and all three of us should go whoop his ass?
Oh, now we're talking. Make it a party.
Yeah, it's three people going to whoop your ass, Connor. Watch your mouth. What's on your mind, though, Connor? Go ahead.
Shep's going to defend me against the two of you.
The guy who thinks he could beat Mike Tyson in a fight. Sure. Go ahead, Connor.
Yes, yeah. Anyway, sorry about that. You know, I think Vrabel has a lot of options. Your amazing producer filled me in on all of them, besides the Falcons, which my very close mind only thought he had that as an option. But he has a lot of options, and I'm assuming he'll have more in the future as many more teams probably will fire their coach, something like that. But that's all I had to say. Anyways, thanks.
Oh, thank you, Connor, for calling from California. Yeah, he going to have options, some better than others. I mean, we just heard from Paul Kuharsky. I would say probably the most attractive options, and one of them isn't even open yet, will be the New England Patriots. There is a familiarity there, not just from the fan perspective. He ain't just some fan favorite. He also happens to be someone very familiar with the owner and the organization. It's tough to even remember or think about this. There was a point in time with Mike Vrabel. I remember seeing him on television as an analyst. And he went from being an analyst and he got the job with Houston, and then he got this starting with his head coaching job with the Tennessee Titans. Massive mistake. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Dave, he's calling from Arkansas. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, hey, JR. I need some help here. You may be the only person today that can help me. I called earlier at the gym room wanting to talk about Jameis, and he was taking the view that it was not only the funniest thing, but the greatest thing that ever happened since sliced bread that Jameis did that. And I took the position that, no, I said that I called in and I said the first thing the owner should have done is he should have fired the coach because he's lost the team. And the second thing they should have done is they cut Jameis. And I got about five more words out, and then Rome cut me off and threw some kind of making me out to be a...
Whoa. Goodness gracious. Damn. Now I know why he cut you off. You got a potty mouth. You can't say those words on the radio. That's not nice. Somebody needs a hug. Oh, my goodness. Damn, did he take money from you, too? Why are you so angry? Damn, did Jameis take money? Why are you so mad? Look, I can't speak for Jim Rome, but with a mouth like that, I can understand getting cut off. Magic letters and magic words. This is radio, man. Sheesh. Now, anyway, when it comes to Jameis Winston, I'm not going to... Well, let's address a few of the things you said outside of the profanity. I don't think you fired Dennis Allen just now on the spot because Jameis Winston disobeyed him, okay? This is not the first time that a player decided to go out there and, quote-unquote, make his own call, decide to go out there and call an audible without the approval of a coach. This was an instance, a public instance, where they were getting their asses whooped, the Falcons, and the Saints won 48-17. The Saints intercepted a pass, high time Matthew, and then they decided to let Jamal Williams punch it in, who only had one touchdown this year after leading the NFL with, I believe, 17 of them the year prior with the Detroit Lions. I get it. They wanted to show love. Everything that you hear from the Saints locker room is, hey, we appreciate Jameis. We stand by Jameis because it's a locker room. Of course they're going to look out for each other. Is this a bad look for Dennis Allen? Yes. Yes, it is. Now the Saints have to figure out whether or not Jameis Winston is worth keeping around on the roster. We know about his time with the Buccaneers. Is it a touchdown or is it an interception from Jameis? This man went 30-30 and not for good reasons like baseball. Get rid of him? I know they restructured his contract. There is no guarantee that Jameis Winston is going to be sticking around next year. And then if you did not hear Jameis Winston's comments after the game, asked about making that play call to punch it in when the coach said, no, take a knee. This is Jameis. He had nothing to say. He had no apology. He was fine with it. Listen.
Well, I apologize to DA because the play was victory.
Yeah.
But I also explained to DA that it was a team decision.
Yeah.
And I think when you have a team around, and I asked the guys, I say, guys, like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
We know how much Jamal means to this team, and I understood from DA's perspective. So I give him that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but DA didn't condone that at all.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't.
Oh, so he apologized to him. That doesn't do him any good when it comes to the locker room. Does it look bad? Yeah. But let's be honest, man. Where the Saints going? By the time we pull up the next season and by the time we pull up, I don't know, into training camp, is this going to be water under the bridge? I think it says a whole hell of a lot more to unseat Jameis Winston if you don't believe in him being a backup quarterback than to let go of Dennis Allen. I mean, that just shows that you are, I don't want to say the Tennessee Titans because Dennis Allen doesn't have Mike Vrabel's background here, but it just shows that you quick to the trigger and you're ready for it all to fall apart. Let's see what happens in the offseason. I'll tell you this much. What happens with the Saints, a lot more of it will hinge on what Derek Carr does going into the future and less about Dennis Allen. I mean, are you going to tell me this is the first step in him losing the locker room? Potentially. Let's see how they handle it. Or do they just hope that it goes away? 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Chris is here from Birmingham. What's up, Chris?
Good. Well, man, I love hearing your show, JR. I swear to God, the work is like, hearing your show is like taking nice good shot of scotch on the rocks to finish off the day. Man, I tell you what, man. I'm a Saints fan. It's crazy how the media is supposed to be in an uproar over somebody trying to show some love to their teammate. They know they've been putting this in time, and like this, the most like for the whole 18 weeks, my Saints have gotten any kind of like media outlet outside of the time it was undefeated for the first 3 weeks of the season.
Uh-huh.
My Lord, I'm neutral about it, like to a degree, because I'm like, sure it was disrespectful, but honestly, when I think about it, that's your most hated divisional rival. I would be offended as a Saints fan if you don't try to Chris Webber and then put your privates in their face.
Oh damn.
Well,
thank you for the visual, Chris. Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you, Chris, for calling from Birmingham. He got a little too excited there in describing a dunk. Okay. All right. Look, me personally, do I care anybody who's showing anybody up? No. If you want to go out there, these are professionals. When it comes down to amateurs, no, I don't want to see. Hey, Ryan, what was that school last week? Holy Bible School? Was that what it was?
College of Bible Studies.
College of Bible Studies. If College of Bible Studies is losing 150-18 or whatever the score was, I don't want to see that. But at the professional ranks where these dudes are getting checks and they're getting paid, I do not care. Go for the jugular. Whoop that ass. Take that money. Take their lunch money. Go for it. I got no issue with it. And so Arthur Smith, he did all that fussing and crying and whining after his team got smashed and he got fired. Well, next time, put a team out there on the field that can do something about it. Well, disrespectful, not fair. What you want Dennis Allen to do? He ain't out there running the plays. Go yell at Jameis. Oh, now you can't yell at anybody. You don't have a job. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We got a lot of people with a lot to say. I'm going to get you on 855-212-4CBS. People are talking about still fire Mike Tomlin. A guy is angry at Dennis Allen and Mike Vrabel should coach the Patriots. Bill Belichick still has a job. We talk about it all here on CBS Sports Radio. Don't move.